Hallelujah. Father God, we love you so much and we appreciate you, Lord. And we thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We know, Lord, there is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, Lord, our eyes are upon you today. Lord, we look to you for guidance, for wisdom, for instruction, as you have imparted to us, Lord, your Holy Spirit. You've given us your Spirit that we may know the things of God and the things that are freely given to us, that we may have the mind of Christ. And so, Lord, we ask you to instruct us in your way, Lord, in your will. Father, today, I pray that you'd stir every heart here, awaken every heart here. Lord, I pray that you'd unite us together, Father God, that regardless of what music we're singing or playing, that, Lord, we'll go beyond that and we will look to your heart, Lord, and that we will join together as brothers and sisters, Lord, because, Lord, you will send your blessing where there's unity, Father. And it is your pleasure, Father God, to pour out your Spirit and to give us the kingdom. So, Father, we're asking for unity in the body of Christ, Lord, that we will set aside our petty differences, Lord, and our prejudices, Father, and that we will just understand that you and I together in Christ are the body of Christ. We are his people. And, Lord, you are over all. Hallelujah. So, Lord, as a body, I pray that you would bring us together under your leadership, under your authority, in your will, in your word. Father, that you would strengthen us with all might in the inner man by your Spirit, Lord. Make us strong in the Lord. Father, that we will be bold, that we will be fearless. Lord, that we will fear no man. God, we just pray your love to be shed abroad in our hearts, Lord, that we'll just be an overflow of your love, Father, in every place. Hallelujah. As you've given us commandment to love one another as I have loved you. So, Lord, let it be unto us according to your desire, your heart. We're all in agreement saying, yes, Lord, that's what we want. We want your way. Your will to be done. Lord, we don't want to just learn about you today. We want to encounter you today. We want to know you today. We want to know your voice, Lord. So speak to us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So I wanted just to make mention again, starting next Monday, we're doing a Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock prayer meeting, praying for Jerusalem, for Israel, for the whole situation in America, for one another, for revival in the church in America. Amen. How many know the church in America needs to wake up? Yes. Amen. And there are beginnings of that happening now, but we need, amen, to be fully awake, fully alert. God wants his people to be vigilant. Yes. Amen. You can't be sleeping on guard duty. All right. You got to be watchful because your enemy studies us and he's looking for opportunity to take on us. Amen. So we got to be mindful of that. We need to be armored up. Amen. And we need to abide in the peace of God. Hallelujah. As we abide in the peace. You know, I heard recently someone talk about the peace of Jerusalem, that when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it is actually talking about peace of heart. Amen. Prosperity, yes, but it's really as your soul prospers. It means that as you pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the people of Israel, amen, God will keep your heart in peace. And as a matter of fact, when you pray for one another, because in the Lord we are the spiritual Israel, amen, when you pray for peace for others, as you sow that, amen, you also will receive that peace. How many would agree with me? We don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be worried. We just need to be vigilant, amen, and we need to abide in the Lord who is our peace. He's the one that will keep us from cracking up, amen? He's the one that can keep us together, hallelujah. Amen, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I want to talk about the gospel of transformation. God doesn't just, as we say often here, he just doesn't improve our lives. He doesn't patch up the old thing and make it look pretty, but he transforms people from the inside out. Amen. And so this gospel that we preach, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is is more than just theology. It's more than just Bible knowledge. Amen. It's that we may know him who is perfect theology, that we may know Jesus, that we may know him personally as Lord, that we may know his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. Amen. And they follow me. His sheep do what? Follow him. And I give unto them eternal life. And that means we won't perish. Amen. Praise God for that. The gospel that we preach is a gospel of power. It's a gospel of transformation. Amen. Amen. So what God is trying to do is bring us to a place where we are dying to ourselves to a degree where he can use us. The more that we die to ourselves, the greater the Lord can use us. Amen. And so we've got to, as we say often, get over ourselves and not make this about us. Amen. God knows that we have needs. Amen. He knows that we have wants and desires. But we're encouraged to do what? To seek first the kingdom of God. And that really means to seek him above everything else. And then all these things, your needs, will be taken care of. Otherwise, we're stressed out about finances and all these other things. Bruce is just mentioning this morning in Sunday school that isn't it true that when we had a time of worship and prayer, that all of a sudden the things that seem to be so big and so outstanding are just nothing anymore? They shrink, amen? Because God is the one that keeps us in his peace. He lifts us up to a higher place, amen? So that we're not worried and are fearful. And the Lord knows that if we're worried or fearful, we can't be of any use. Amen. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Amen. And so the solution is Jesus Christ. Amen. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Lord as being the strength of your life. And you and I relying upon his grace. Amen. To overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil on a daily basis. We can do nothing without him. So this is always about him. He has to be the center of everything that we're doing. Christianity is verified by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the power of God transforms our intellectual concepts, all right, into a true living faith. God wants to transform our minds, amen, and our thinking. Hallelujah. So it's more than just a concept. It's more than just theology, but it becomes part of us. Christ is perfect theology. Jesus is the Word. Amen. And with the Word in us, amen, we can be expression of God's Word in this world. Amen. Apart from him, we can do nothing. People have learned how to put together well-formed messages, sermons. But if the Spirit of God is not present in that, it can be a dead letter. Amen. And as a matter of fact, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the law of God is perfect, it's holy, it's good, amen. But if it's void of the Spirit of God, amen, by itself, all it does is condemns us, amen. And so the law was given so that we would turn to Jesus who could save, amen, and deliver us. Faith is the door to fellowship with God. Faith is believing that what God has promised us, he will do. Faith is not seeing until I, you know, if I see it, I'll believe it. But faith is saying, I believe what God said. And when you believe what God says, then you can see it. As a matter of fact, faith has substance to it. Amen. It's more than just an intellectual concept of something I believe to be true in my intellect. Amen. A lot of people say, well, I believe in God. So does the devil. Amen. It's more than just believing in your mind. Amen. True faith will have evidence. It'll have substance. There'll be fruit in your life if you are walking in faith. If you are believing God, there will be evidence of that faith in your life. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so what we need is the presence of the Lord. It's always been about Jesus. Amen. At the center. Many Christians, they've been hardened through the teachings that justify their powerlessness. Many Christians even have been hardened through the teaching that justifies their powerlessness. Oh, well, it's not for today. Well, maybe it's not God's will. Sometimes that's true, but some people, it's always not God's will. Why? Because nothing ever happens, because they don't believe God for anything. Because they don't really believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The key there is what? Diligently seek him. Gifts, they say, are not for today. Did you know, I saw this recently, but there's a cessationist conference. Okay, now cessationism is those who believe that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. That they went away with the writing of the New Testament canon. And they use one verse from 1 Corinthians 13 to try to justify that. But they're obviously ignoring a whole lot more. Okay, but they don't believe that God is still the same. Amen. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And that we're living in the time right now of God's grace. Amen. We're living in that time when God is pouring out his Spirit. Amen. And people can be saved. Amen. Right? People can be healed. People can be delivered from demons. Amen. Set free. Hallelujah. And guess how much they were charging for the tickets for this conference? A very reasonable $299.99. $300 to go to a conference that will tell you that God is not moving today in signs and wonders and miracles. God help us. That is demonic, my friends. That does not agree with the Spirit and the Word. Amen? And many people are going there, and of course, they've become hardened, and they are justifying their powerlessness because they believe this type of doctrine. We also need to be careful to avoid teachings that overemphasize the power of evil. Oh, the devil, oh, the devil. Get your eyes off the devil and get your eyes on Jesus, amen? We know he's there, amen, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. We look to the Lord, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Amen. Shall be saved. Hallelujah. And then you have been authorized in Jesus' name. He's given you the authority. Amen. To take authority over demons. Amen. Unclean spirits. Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you believe that today? Psalms 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Amen. What are we to do? Not exalt evil, not overemphasize evil. Yes, we look around in our world, there's a lot of evil, amen? A lot of things happening, but we're not supposed to be consumed with all the bad that the devil's doing. Looky here, he's a narcissist. He wants you to pay attention to what he's doing. Come on, somebody. We're not to be unaware, but we're not to be afraid of the enemy and the things that he's up to, because our God is on the throne. Our God is with us, and God before us, who can be against us? So don't overemphasize and don't get caught up in this thing where it's always the negative, always the bad thing that we're looking at, because the enemy just likes to get attention. We want to give our attention to Jesus. Magnify means to make large in your imagination, really. You know, God is bigger than our imagination, but we have been given imaginations. Amen. And when we read the Word of God and by the Spirit and in the revelation of the Spirit, we come to see God as being much bigger, much larger, amen, than anything that the devil's up to. He's Lord of the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord will use the enemy sometimes to discipline his people, to wake his people up, to get his people back to where they need to be, to get them back into position so once again he can pour the oil of the anointing into their lives and raise them up in power, amen, and be reunited with him, to have a heart full of love and appreciation for the goodness of the Lord, because sometimes we get distracted. We get distracted by worldly things, amen? And sometimes if we're just going astray and going too far off, the Lord's a good shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He has to get that shepherd's crook around our neck sometimes, amen? And sometimes he has to take the rod of correction, amen, just to get our attention. That little attitude adjustment is good for us once in a while. Amen. And guys, that's why it's so important that we understand the value of our intercession and our prayers and in coming together right now and storming heaven on behalf of America, because America is in trouble. However, our God is bigger than the devil. Amen. But we have to pray and call on the Lord, and the church in America needs to repent. Amen. When God's people repent and turn from their wicked ways, then he hears from heaven. And he forgives their sin and he heals their land. We need to be praying like never before. Would you agree with me with that? Yeah. Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock, if you can come together. If not, pray at home. Amen. But it's important that we come together as much as we can to be praying right now during this season. Amen. I don't know how long it's going to go, but we're going to keep at it. Amen. How many know you should be praying anyways all the time? All right. But sometimes it helps to come together with the body. So what do the psalmist said to do what? Magnify the Lord. So if you're magnifying the Lord, what it does is it helps your faith. It increases your confidence because you're now seeing God as being much larger, much bigger than the devil. The enemy, he likes to exaggerate. Come on. The news media is exaggerating everything. They call it fear porn these days. Fear, fear, fear. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Why? Because if people start to drink that Kool-Aid, they become discouraged and they lose hope. And when you lose hope, you're really in trouble. But we're serving the God of all hope. And our hope is in the Lord. God is with us. How many know the devil is not threatened by a powerless church? That's why he discourages prayer and praise and preaching. And so we must not allow our flesh, amen, to control our thoughts and our actions. We need the Spirit of God. We need to be quickened. We need to be strengthened. We need to be filled and stay filled. Keep the tank topped off, amen, with the Holy Spirit. So just not topped off, but overflowing for God. That's even better, amen. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Yes, we know we're in a spiritual war, right? And this is what we're contending with. "But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Amen. We have the word of God. Amen. We have the blood of Jesus. We can call the fire of God down like Elijah did. Amen. But what else? We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. That's why you need to be in the word. You need to know, amen, your weaponry. You need to know how to use it effectively. Amen. Against the enemy. Hallelujah. When the devil comes at you with a lie, you use the truth. Amen. To trump the lie. Hallelujah. When he cries to curse you, you bless him back. Amen. Because the blessing will overcome the curse every time. There's two primary enemies of our faith. First one is pride, and the second is fear. Proverbs 16:18, how many know this? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. James 4:6, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. King Saul, he was more concerned about the opinions of people than the will of God. His reputation with the people was more important to him than the will of God. So people's opinions became more important to him. Saul feared man, and it caused him to fail in his assignment. Do you understand that the fear of man is a snare? It's a trap. God does not want his people afraid of people. How are we going to minister to the lost if we're afraid of people? And how are we going to minister to the lost except that we be filled with the power of God that gives us supernatural confidence and boldness to be able to, with confidence, to speak the truth in love? When you're filled with the love of God, you love people. You're not so concerned about yourself. Amen. Because your focus is on reaching those who are lost and dying around you. And you want to win them to Jesus because he's the only one that can save. Amen. Somebody. So we have to be careful. that we don't become proud. When we're proud, what we do is we begin to think that I don't need God like I used to. I don't need to pray like I used to because I've got this. I'm handling things quite well on my own. Thank you very much. Or I don't need to listen to God. Like somehow obedience to God is an option. Like it's optional if I want to obey God or not. That's pride that would say I decided not to obey God. When you are under the authority of a king, you submit to that king and you obey his commands. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Because you recognize the authority there. Amen. And you know that you are under that authority. And how many know it's dangerous to take yourself outside of the authority of God? To place yourself outside of the authority of God, outside of the word of God, to say, I don't need to listen to God like other people do. Amen. I need to listen to God. Come on. How many know there's only security in the stronghold of God, and the word of God is his stronghold. Amen. In him who is the word, he is our stronghold. Hallelujah. Fear is something the enemy is using quite effectively and has been. For a long, long time, amen? And so many people have fallen trapped to that. So Saul here, he fell, as you remember in 1 Samuel 15:17, he said, and Samuel, the prophet came to him and he rebuked him for his disobedience. And he said, Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Pride will cause you to sin against God. Pride is esteeming your will above the will of God. You see, when Saul was little in his own eyes, he understood that God was bigger and God was in charge of him. Amen. And he was to be under the authority and under the instruction of the Lord. And when he took himself outside of that because he feared the people more than he did God, he was more willing to please people than he was to please God. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you're trying to please people, you're going to compromise the will of God. You don't want to be a Saul. Amen. Samuel obeyed the Lord. Amen. He was blessed as a result. But Saul lost everything because he would not submit himself to God. When he was small, when he had walked in humility before the Lord, when he was an obedient king, he was great, amen. But when he became proud, he fell. And these things were written down for our admonition today. They were written down for us to be wise and understand that God's ways are still the same. God deals with people the same way today that he did then, amen. The only difference is that we're under the grace of God right now, and God has given people an opportunity to be saved through Jesus Christ, amen. Now, the second enemy of faith, all right, is fear. Fear of failure, fear of embarrassment has prevented many Christians from stepping out and accomplishing the will of God. How many know that if you're fearing failure, you're fearing fear itself, amen, fear of embarrassment means that we're really too strong in ourselves. It means that our focus is too much on ourselves. Think about it. That's why we must die to ourselves in order to follow Jesus. That's why we must deny ourselves to be a disciple of Jesus. If I'm self-centered, self-focused, then I'm going to be consumed about what people think about me. What really matters is what does God say? Where do I stand with the Lord? How many know you cannot please all the people all the time? So quit trying to please all the people all the time. Because if you're a people pleaser, it means you're walking in fear. Come on, somebody. If I'm fearful, it means I'm not strong enough in the Lord. That's why we need to put on the full armor of God. We need to be equipped. We need to be filled, amen, with the Spirit of God. So the supernatural power of God is resting in us and upon us, amen. So when we go out into the world, amen, we have a confident assurance that comes from God, amen. It's not of us, but it's of the Lord. It's a supernatural peace that will guard your heart and your mind, amen. How many know you can have peace in the midst of all this stuff that's going on right now? Because the Lord wants to give you that peace. Sow peace, amen, and receive peace. A humble soldier. Amen. He will obey his orders even at the risk of his own life. Now, he may have his own ideas about what he wants to do, but if he is a loyal soldier, he knows that I've been given a command, I've been given orders, I am to be faithful to my commander-in-chief, amen, and to my superiors, and I am willing, for the sake of the mission, for winning the war, amen, I'm going to submit myself to this order, even at the risk of my own life. How many know that following the Lord, amen, has risks attached to it? Amen. But how many know that the Lord has you in the very palm of his hand as well? And how many know that you can't add a day to your life? Amen. But God is in control of that. Amen. So why should we live in fear and worry about our lives? If our lives belong to God, amen, then we should be confident that my God is able to keep me. Amen. He's able to protect me. And if the Lord decides it's time to go home, that's just a promotion. Praise God. Amen. God wants us to have full confidence in him to the degree that we're not afraid of dying. We're not afraid of people. We're not living in fear. We're living in faith. A confident assurance that my God is with me. My God is for me. And I've been privileged to be recruited into the army of God. I count it a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, a true soldier has counted the cost and is willing to do whatever is necessary to accomplish the mission. You see, many people will not obey the Lord, hear me today, for fear of rejection. When people say, well, they have a spirit of rejection, it could be a demonic spirit of rejection, or it could be that you're just too strong in your flesh. Come on. And then you're worried about being rejected because you're too focused on you and not on the mission and not on what God wants. Amen. How many know that the Lord will give you a supernatural ability? Amen. So even if people reject you, you're not shaken by that. Why? Because they're not going to define who you are. You know who you are in Christ, who he is in you. Amen. That the Lord loves me. The Lord accepts me. And that's all I need to know. How many know it's Jesus that the Father spoke to? Amen. And said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Father validated Jesus. Amen. How many know we need the same validation today from the Lord, amen, that we don't have to worry about what people think. Because if you worry about people, what they think, if you consume by that, you won't live out the will of God for your life. You'll live as a servant to what everybody else wants for you. You'll become a slave to people's opinions. But God wants you to rise above that. Rise above on wings as eagles, amen. Hallelujah. Get out of the chicken yard. Amen. And start rising up on wings as eagles with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why we need the power of God. That's why we must be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. So fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, fear of man, right? Fear of evil, fear of death is a sign that we are spiritually weak and lack the power of God. Somebody say amen, make me feel good. Amen. I'll say it again. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, fear of man, fear of evil, fear of death is a sign that we are spiritually weak and lack the power of God. Amen. All right. All right. By the way, I don't need you to make me feel good. I'm just joking. Otherwise, I just contradicted what I just said, right? It's so good to get over ourselves, though, to live free, even of ourselves. Because, you know, has anybody beside myself ever got into a pity party? You know, when we get self-centered, it's like, oh, well, it's me, everything is going wrong, man. And, you know, if you stay in that gerbil wheel long enough, man, your problems are just going to magnify bigger and bigger, and you're going to lose your joy, you're going to lose your victory. Man, you got to break out of that thing and say, you know what, God didn't call me to be depressed. God wants me to be joyful. So I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, even if I'm feeling depressed. Amen. And I'm going to tell my face that I have joy. Everybody struggles once in a while with depression. Not that it's a state of being depressed, but sometimes we have our lows in life. Amen. What do you do when you're hitting a low in life? Well, you need to remember the goodness of God. You need to be thankful in the goodness of God. You need to rejoice in the goodness of God. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord like David did, amen? When he saw the goodness of God in his history and his life, he began to look back and say, you know what? The Lord has been with me. The Lord has been good to me. And I know the Lord is going to help me through this problem as well, amen? Because his eyes were not on the problem, but on the solution. And the solution is always going to be the Lord. The Lord is mighty to save. The Lord can deliver you out of any situation, amen? He can break the bondage of the enemy in your life. He wants every one of his people completely liberated from all depression. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 2:14 says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. 15, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to what? The fear of dying. So one of the accomplishments of Jesus on the cross, amen, is to liberate you and I from the fear of dying. I remember Brother Chuck saying this one time to me. He said, but some people are so afraid of dying that they quit living. They live in their little bubble of self-secure. Somehow they're going to be secure in this little bubble they live in. No. God wants you out of the egg. He wants you hatched. He wants you released. He wants you, amen, to be advancing the kingdom. He doesn't want us shriveling away, amen, in fear of what might happen, could happen. Amen. But know that God is with us. Amen. And my life is in the palm of his hand. Hallelujah. If God decides it's time for me to go, it's my time to go. It doesn't matter where I find myself. If I'm in the will of God, I'm protected there until such time as the Father says it's time for you to go. I believe that. David said, Lord, you know the number of my days. The Lord knows the number of our days. No fear. I see people using that bumper sticker, no fear. I wonder how many really are living fearless. Well, we need to understand that there are going to be moments, and there's a kind of fear that is a wise fear. That is walking across the street. Come on, no fear. You know, no. God wants you to pay attention. He wants you to be vigilant. Amen. So you have to have some, but we're talking about the kind of fear that paralyzes, the kind of fear that will shut you down and shut you up, the kind of fear that will prevent you from living out the will of God for your life. That kind of fear, amen, needs to be under our feet. And our faith needs to be in our God who is greater than the one in the world, amen. But God wants people free from the fear of dying. What's the solution? Draw near to God. It's always the same. If I'm fearful, if I'm weak, if I'm fearing rejection or all these other things, failure, embarrassment, fear of man, it just means I need to draw near to God. How many know what I'm talking about? How many can be in a time of worship? It's been glorious. You're in here and you walk out and you just got like, man, I'm ready to tackle the world. Amen. Because you're just immersed in the presence of God. Amen. And then a little short while later, if you don't stay filled and you don't stay connected to the Lord throughout your days, you can find yourself shrinking back again and getting back into yourself again. And your flesh man is insecure. Somebody say amen. People try to pretend that they're not, but they are. People naturally were insecure. Why? Because naturally we know that we don't have the protection we need. That's why we need the protection of the Lord. That's why when we put on the armor of God, when we're clothed in the Lord, we have supernatural confidence because we know that God clothes us. God protects us. Amen. And in his love, there is no fear. In God's love, there is no fear of death. If we're going to be effective for the Lord, we got to get over this thing of trying to save our lives. If we're going to be effective for God, we got to get over the fear of death. We're not supposed to fear death because death will be swallowed up in victory because our Lord Jesus Christ has overcome. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In him we overcome. Only in him. James 4:8, New Living Translation says, come close to God. And what? God will come close to you. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Amen. And then when we're divided, guys, we're insecure. When we're divided, we're unstable. Amen. We have to have eyes only for the Lord. We've got to get the garbage out. We've got to quit feeding ourselves garbage. Amen. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to get in the closet with Jesus. Amen. And be endued with His power. Hallelujah. To where our desires are transformed even. To where we desire what He desires. We love what He loves and we hate what He hates. Amen. Because that's the way it is. The fear of the Lord will protect you from falling away. There's no fear in love, 1 John 4:18. But perfect love, what? Casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made complete or perfect in love. So again, obedience to the Lord is not optional. All right? What's needed is courage. I say it before, but courage is not the absence of fear. It's mastery over it. I don't allow my fears to control me. You take courage. You refuse to allow fear to paralyze you. God gives you that ability to make the decision. As he told Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5, how many know this one? No man, he said, shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. What did he tell Joshua to do? Be strong, verse 6, and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. What did the early church do when they were threatened? They ran into their closet. They put their little fluffy slippers on and their little binky and their blanket. No, they called on the Lord. Amen. Now, Lord, in Acts 4:29, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all what? Boldness, they may speak your word. You say, well, I'm just a shy person. Well, God can use shy people. Amen. Amen? If you will give your life to him and let him fill you, amen, with his power. And with his power will come confidence that's beyond you, a boldness that you don't possess naturally, to be able to do and be what God's called you to do and be. By what? They said, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. In verse 31, and when they had prayed, somebody say, and when they had prayed. Not when one had prayed, but when they had prayed. Okay, that means they must have been together. They must be gathering for prayer. And when they, come on somebody, had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. John 14:21, Jesus said this, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest or reveal myself to him. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Jesus said the Father has a special love for those who love him, and he will make himself known to them in a special way. What is he talking about here? He's saying, I want you to be a friend of God's. Amen? Friendship with God is what it's about. Not just being a servant, not just doing things for God, but actually being a friend with God, walking with the Lord every day and obeying him. Because if you obey him, it means that you love him and you trust him. And when you do that, there will be a special impartation to you. God will entrust you greater riches because you've been faithful in little. The true gospel of Christ is a gospel of power. It's a gospel that saves and heals and delivers. It's transforming, and that's why we must pray. Amen? And it takes both the Word of God and the power of God to change the inner man. Hallelujah. We can't change ourselves. You can change some things externally, but you can't change your heart. Amen. And the condition you were born with, only God can do something with that. You have to give Him the whole offering. You have to surrender your life. I keep saying it. You got to get to the place where you're, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. I'm giving you everything. If you've been away from God, it's time to get back to that place where you're in love with Him all over again. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, the kingdom of God is not just a lot of what? Talk. It is living by God's power. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may be able to, what? To obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. What do we need to do? Come boldly to the throne of grace. For what reason? That we may find the grace we need, the mercy and the grace that we need, right, to help us. Would you agree with me that we're in a time of need right now? That America is in a time of need right now? That there are members even in your family that are in a time of need right now? Maybe you're in a time of need right now. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, amen? Let's keep knocking and until the door is open. Can you say amen? Amen. Let us not become weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap. Not might, shall. We are praying, we are believing for the glory of God to come in a way we've never encountered before, to come into this place. Hallelujah. That nobody's going to have to lay hands on anybody. Nobody's going to have to function in their gift. God's just going to sovereignly move on people. They're going to get saved. They're going to get healed. They're going to get delivered. Amen. They're going to get set free by the power of God, by the glory, hallelujah, of the Lord. We're praying, Lord, let your glory fall in this place and in our nation. Hallelujah. Any void in your heart must be filled with the power of God. If we're going to be free from the influence and the power of Satan, you must keep your life filled. That means you must obey God. You must repent of your sins in every area of your life. Amen. So that the enemy has no strongholds. He has no place in you. And when there's a vacuum, where there's a vacancy, you must be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That way the enemy has no place in you. You remember Jesus said, the devil has no place in me. No place. Zero. God wants the same for His people. No place for the devil. No sympathy for the devil. No sympathy towards sin. Amen? Because we want to be a pure vessel that is completely filled, overflowing with the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to clean us up. Amen. And fill us and use us, raise us up. Hallelujah. Oh God, we praise your name. Hallelujah. So any void needs to be filled. The problem is people are filling that void with other things, with worldly things. And the enemy's looking for a place to get in. So if you're not going to fill your life with God, you're going to get something you don't want. Are you hearing me? The power of God and our obedience to God is essential to our victory in overcoming evil in our lives. Again, in 1 Samuel 15, King Saul was commanded by God to destroy the Amalekites, the nation that had mercilessly ambushed the Hebrew stragglers when they left Egypt on the way to Canaan. Why did God tell them to wipe them all out? Because they were beyond redemption. They were completely bent and sold into Satan, amen, into evil. And God had put up with the people of Amalek for years. They were to be blotted out as punishment for their sin. They had gone beyond the point of redemption. Do you understand that God is patient, that God is long-suffering? Amen. But His Spirit will not always strive with man. That God is giving people now an opportunity. It doesn't matter how vile they are. If they will repent and turn to the Lord fully. Amen. God will forgive them, restore them, make them a child of His. Amen. A new creation in Christ Jesus. There is salvation in only that name, the name of Jesus. Amen. There's no other way to the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. But if a person will from their heart repent, God will save, God will heal, and God will restore that person. Amen. There's nothing that He cannot do, but He waits on us to respond to His invitation to repent and to turn to Him. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They were to be completely blotted out. Amalek, there was not to be any part of them left. They had gone beyond the point of redemption. Unfortunately, Saul was constantly redefining the Lord's commands. Bruce talked about it this morning, how sometimes we want to twist the things of God, even the Word of God, to fit our own lifestyle. And that's what Saul was doing. He was making excuses for his disobedience. He was trying to justify himself. You know, I say it often, but the grace that you give yourself is not the grace that will save you. Only God's grace will save you. And you will only find grace if you will humble yourself before the King. Amen. Lay your life down before Him. Call upon the name of the Lord and truly repent from your heart. And you'll find mercy. You'll find His grace is sufficient for you. You'll find that God will love Him and forgive and raise you up. Hallelujah. As a new creation. That's so good. Samuel. The prophet Samuel, what did he do when he heard about Saul? It says that he grieved all night long. He grieved for Saul. You see, Samuel loved Saul. He grieved for him. He wasn't rejoicing in the downfall, amen, of someone who was really living as an enemy to God. But he was grieved in his heart, amen, for someone that was lost, that had drifted away from the Lord. But you know what? Samuel was determined, no matter what, to obey the word of the Lord, no matter what. 1 Samuel 16:1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And who was that? David. So what happened? Saul lost the anointing due to compromise. Samuel obeyed the Lord, and he received a greater anointing. God told him, go and fill your horn. Amen. Come on. How many know the Lord will give the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him? Yes. Is that not the Word of God? Yes. Like Jesus, we're called to be world changers. We're not to conform to the pattern of this world, but we're to change the world. We're to be salt. We're to be light. We're to show the world who God is and what God is really like. So as salt, what do? We season, amen, those around us, hallelujah, with the grace of God. And as light, we expose the darkness and draw others to Christ, like a city on a hill, Jesus said, amen. And we can only do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because I have a strong willpower and I'm going to live for God. No, it's because I realize that I'm weak in myself and I don't have the strength to live for God. Amen. I need the grace of God to empower me. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can enable me to be effective. Amen. As you've heard it said, God's not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for celebrity Christians. He's looking for humble servants that will bow before Him and allow Him to fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they might be raised up in His power and in His authority and have the supernatural confidence that only comes from the Lord, that you can overcome every fear, every phobia, and the fear of man. You will not be bound by what people think. You will only care about what God says. Amen? That's what we need. I say, more, Lord. I want more, Lord. Hallelujah. We need to be immersed, baptized, saturated in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come close to God and He will come close to you. Amen. Set your heart to seek the Lord. Amen. Receive from Him. Be filled with Him. Focus on Him. Get into His Word. Get into prayer. Amen. Get into fellowship. Seek the things of God. Amen. Above everything else. Hallelujah. God's going to take care of everything else you have need. He'll take care of your problems. Hallelujah. God can even heal your body. Amen. You seek first the kingdom of God and live for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And the things that you need will be added unto you as well. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord this morning and say, Lord Jesus, thank You for the cross. Thank You for Your blood. Your blood avails for me. Thank You that I am forgiven. Lord, if there's any sin in my life, I ask You to blot it out. I ask You to cleanse me in Your precious blood and fill me with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, clothe me in Your full armor from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. In Jesus' name, Thank you, Lord. I am yours. You are mine. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.